essence of America lies in the hearts and souls of us. I have renewed faith, deeper faith, that the Lord will show me the way forward.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09. Today is May 5th. It's 2016, Cinco de Mayo. It's Thursday also. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day. Lots to talk about. Mother's Day is this weekend. We're going to have some gift ideas for you, maybe some tech gift ideas. We'll talk a little bit about the business of Mother's Day as well, all coming up this morning. But first, the overnight global intel from the WGN Market Desk. We begin with right now on the markets. The Asian stocks are drifting lower in holiday-thin trading there after some uneven economic data sent investors into a holding pattern. A private survey by the Institute for Supply Management has found that growth in April in service economies accelerated to its high level this year. While this could be a sign that the broader economy is perhaps going towards an upswing, another survey by the payroll processor ADP found that U.S. companies added jobs at the slowest pace in 3 years in April. That caused a little concern and confusion on Wall Street yesterday. And so the major indices fell for a second day. The Dow Jones Industrials lost about 99 points, almost a half a percent. Standard & Poor's NASDAQ as well lower. The benchmark U.S. crude oil rose about a buck overnight. It's at $45 a barrel. The dollar gained against the yen and the euro. Today, the Labor Department reports on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits. Freddie Mac is going to report this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. There's a big story developing in terms of email this morning. Hundreds of millions of hacked users' names and passwords for email accounts and other websites have been stolen. This, according to Reuters, a security expert says that those emails and usernames and passwords are for accounts and other websites mainly in Russia, in that part of the world. But they fear that this is spreading across the globe this morning. Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, email, all valuable digital assets, according to Ben Johnson of the digital firm Carbon Black. He's concerned about where this might spread.
They can really use them for spam, to log in and spread to people you know, to try your email username and password as the credentials for other websites. So there's a whole plethora of things they could try with it.
The U.S. Transportation Department yesterday, as expected, added another 35 to 40 million U.S. airbag inflators to the recall for Takata. The confirmation and announcement yesterday follows a report about this expansion of the largest ever U.S. auto safety recall. Previously, 14 automakers had recalled about 24 million vehicles with just 28 million inflators. Here's the head of the Highway Traffic Safety Council, Mark Rosenkahn.
This expansion is mostly of passenger side inflators, which are less risky, both because of the way they are designed to deploy and because the passenger seat is less frequently occupied. All of the airbag inflators responsible for fatalities and injuries in the United States have already been under recall. NHTSA's actions today expands the recall to all Takata frontal airbag inflators that contain ammonium nitrate and do not contain the drying agent. When a vehicle owner learns that parts are available for their vehicle, they should absolutely bring their vehicle in for repair as soon as possible.
News on McDonald's this morning. Why do all of the foreign markets get all of the cool stuff? In some of the European markets, McDonald's has introduced placemats that are turned into production studios, music production stations. You apparently lay your phone on the mat, and then it turns your phone into something that they're calling McTracks.
Think about it, accomplishments. I can see you.
That's exactly from the video that has been posted on an advertising agency in the Netherlands where this has been launched. McTracks apparently has 26 digital touch points on this piece of paper that's been used by apparently a 3D printer. Very popular in the Netherlands, people making all kinds of music at McDonald's while they're eating their fries and Big Macs. Mother's Day is this weekend, and if you haven't gotten your mom something yet, you might want to think about tech. Yeah, tech. Believe it or not, our moms are more technically apt than we give them credit for. My mom, for instance, in her 70s, I've actually taught her how to edit videos of her grandchildren. and did that remotely, by the way. We're going to bring in CNET this morning. We're going to have a conversation about this. CNET reporter with us this morning. Bridget, Bridget, I'm sorry, my computer just froze. And all of my questions
is appropriate.
Isn't it appropriate? Bridget Carey is a writer with CNET. I can't believe that it just froze here, and I'm glad I remembered your name. But this is something that we don't really think about a lot, and that is that our moms, depending on their age, I guess, are all pretty technically apt and maybe would like something like this besides flowers.
Yeah, but I'm impressed with you for teaching video editing remotely.
Yeah, remotely.
So you are quite the sage at this. All right. So I would say there are a lot of tech gifts for mom that can just make her life easier. It depends on the kind of, you know, what mom's up to. I would say one gift that is kind of neat, people don't think about, is a Polaroid camera that just came out. Normally we're taking all of our photos on our phones, obviously. But if you have the need to have something a little different, Polaroid Snap is this pocket-sized camera. You can still save photos on a SD card digitally, but what it does is it also prints out 2x3-inch prints. And these aren't the kind of prints that you have to shake out like the old ways. It actually just has a normal, you know, paper and ink. And this is a fun thing to do when you're at a party to pass out little prints, or if you want a scrapbook and you don't have time to go to the drugstore to print out, you know, print photos. So it's just something kind of neat to do at events. It's about $100. But there's other categories as well.
We'll get into some of those and talk a little bit more about the idea of technical gifts for Mother's Day. Bridget Carey's with us from CNET. She's the writer and host of CNET Update.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Major U.S. indexes fell for a second day yesterday. The Dow Jones dropped 100 points, closing at 17,651. The S&P 500 lost 12 points. The NASDAQ Composite fell 38. Investors are looking ahead to an employment report due out tomorrow. The additional airbag inflator recall raises questions about the auto industry's ability to produce and distribute the necessary replacement parts. Takata is adding up to 40 million airbag inflators to an already massive recall. General Motors is set to resume operations at four North American plants shut down by supply chain interruptions following earthquakes in the Pacific. Production at GM in Tennessee, Ohio, Kansas, and Canada was put on hold April 25th after the quake that killed 49 people in Japan. It's a third straight quarterly decline in sales for Whole Foods, the high-end grocer facing increasing competition. The 3% drop comes as Whole Foods prepares to open its first 365 store, a smaller boutique model featuring house brands. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
520, welcome back to the program. We're on with Bridget Carey this morning, writer and host of CNET Update, talking about tech gifts for mom this Mother's Day. Bridget, I was doing a little bit of research on this, and Mother's Day, believe it or not, 84% of us will be celebrating Mother's Day. $21.2 billion will be spent on Mother's Day gifts. 84.2% of us, again, plan to celebrate with our moms, so that's good. We all still have our moms with us. And the average spent per person on Mother's Day gifts last year, $173. Wow.
No, because mom ain't cheap.
She's not cheap. So what can we get for $173?
Okay, actually, there are a lot of tech gifts you don't have to get. You don't have to spend more than $100 on. We're talking before the break about the Polaroid Snap. That was $100 of a camera. But also think about what mom does for entertainment and streaming. I think there's still some moms out there who maybe don't have a way to watch Netflix or stream on their TVs. And it's so easy and cheap now. You have these little sticks that you put in the back of the TV and the HDMI port. And she never has to mess with it once it's set up one time. Google Chromecast, that's $25. And that gives access to Netflix, and you can stream from your phone to the TV. But also, if you step up to $50 with the Roku, that's my favorite, there's a lot of content on there that she doesn't have to pay for that's free. Sometimes there's like different stations, like, you know, CBS, NBC, there's a lot of content that they could just watch without having to pay extra. And I think that's kind of handy and neat because they're really good now where you don't have to worry about, oh, is setup complicated?
Some of us, you know, we're worried about the health of our moms, and we want them to, you know, age healthfully. Are there health devices that we should get, or should we be careful in this area? Is it like buying mom a bread maker, you know, for is this something we should tread lightly on, or is this something that mom would appreciate?
You know, there are so many health tracking devices, you know, bracelets in that kind of area. I think unless mom's a health freak, it's just kind of like a glorified step counter that you have to keep recharging sometimes. I like the ones that you don't have to recharge so much, at least. For example, there are a few made where the battery is like a normal watch battery. So I would look for that. Y-Things is one that makes it as a normal watch battery. It just kind of also counts steps to keep you active. But for the most part, there's some other more entertainment things. I don't feel like you're, you know, telling mom she needs to, you know, walk around more.
Right.
Can I add to this a little bit?
Sure, Mary Vanderbilt's trying to show. Okay.
I have to, my mother, who is 91 years old, we just got her a Fitbit because she wanted to see how many steps she was taking because she likes to keep in shape still and she walks in a park. So here's my mom, you know, 91 years old. We bought her the Fitbit. And everybody now at the place she lives, at the senior living facility, wants one. Isn't that hilarious?
It is.
And you get kind of competitive and like,
yeah, it's getting competitive.
See what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, you know, my mom, she swims every morning and I think she might appreciate like a waterproof camera or something like that. She's always taking pictures.
And they have swim proof, activity trackers, too, like, you know, we're just talking about. When it comes to music, I think that's an area that a lot of people don't have time to make special playlists or deal with it because we just stream from our phones. It's really the easiest thing. So if mom doesn't already have a Bluetooth speaker, there are so many options that are cheap. Logitech makes these $25 portable speakers that are colorful and they're kind of donut shaped, but you can go up to, you know, maybe $50-$75 and get waterproof ones too if she wants to go out and about with them or even hook them on a bike. There's a lot of options there. We have a whole list at CNET.
And Bridget, you know, this year is we just had the House of Homeware show here in Chicago. There's a lot of new gadgety type devices for the kitchen. You hate to get mom something like that, but if some of this stuff is pretty cool, and I bet if your mom does like to cook, there are a lot of really cool things for the kitchen too that she might appreciate.
Yeah, this is an area that's blowing up, but you have to be careful because, for example, some smart coffee makers we're seeing are just no different than the coffee than the normal Mr. Coffee, but it happens to be able to start from your phone, you know, and it costs too much. So you want to do your research on the smart kitchen stuff. There's a lot of new ways to cook sous vide style, and we actually opened up a whole new office at CNET just to test all these crazy new kitchen gadgets. But what I like too is just the smart home in general. If you have a mom who is worried about if her kids are coming in and out, you know, from home, or just wants to have more control and is crafty and like that kind of way, there are smart home sensors that start for about $50. One I like is Belkin Wemo. You're able to just plug it into the wall outlet, and when you're away from home, either turn on lights or have it send you a text message when someone walks in the door or walks past a certain area of the hallway, so you know, oh, Johnny's home from school or whatever the case may be, you know. And it's kind of just a neat way for moms who like to tinker because it's not that complicated at all, but also, you know, maybe want to know, you know, who's coming home, who's not, or did I close the garage door? Smart home can also help you do that kind of stuff away from home.
Bridget, I think the most expensive thing I found on the list of recommendations from CNET is $24,995, the Subaru Outback, fully equipped to get mom and the kids out to camping.
Oh, yeah. That's a normal Mother's Day.
Yeah, right.
We do have a car section at CNET because, you know, now, especially with how, you know, techie cars are getting, it's something that a lot of people are interested in.
Bridget Carey,
I think with the flowers.
Yeah, flowers or one of these other, you know, the Fitbit or the something little, like maybe $173 worth. Bridget Carey, the writer, host of CNET Update Daily Tech News Show, Tech Gift Ideas for Mom. Don't forget, Mom, Mother's Day is this weekend. Bridget, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
538, welcome back to the program. Taking measure of the U.S. economy is never easy and often varies depending on who you ask. But some issues do remain constants in the conversation, regardless of what the stock market is doing day to day. Debt and deficit, inequality, banks, healthcare, education, a lot of these things are issues that are being covered in a new book that we'll be discussing today.
What is America getting from Washington? Infighting, gridlock, and sound bites. What does America deserve? Solutions. Common Sense Solutions.
Jim Stone is the author of Common Sense Solutions to America's Greatest Economic Challenges, Five Easy Theses. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, you've tackled some big issues here. We've heard a lot of this on the campaign trail so far this year. Lots of people complaining and grumping about this, but I'm not hearing many solutions. You do have a couple. What do you think is the number one challenge facing America right now?
Well, I hate to pick one of my five because I think they're all in some way related.
We'll go over all of them.
Maybe the most. Yeah. Would you like me to run through the five quickly?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Well, the first one is that the budget is out of balance and a deficit can be okay, but not if it's wasted. And that's what we're doing. Social Security needs to be fixed or people won't be able to rely on it in the future. A second issue, and a big one, is that wealth is increasingly being accumulated only in the top part of the population and everybody else is frozen out. Education isn't working really well for people who aren't university bound. And for those who are, it's becoming unaffordable. Healthcare is much too expensive for the results that we get. And there's out-of-control activity on Wall Street, just too much for the economy, puts us all at risk. Those are my five issues.
And this paints a picture of if you just sit back and think about these things, these are huge issues, and it seems like there's no movement to solve any of them.
Well, that's right. They don't lend themselves very well to sound bites. They don't lend themselves to quick fixes. They're probably things where the public is going to have to drive the politicians rather than vice versa.
Here in Illinois, we're kind of faced with this on a local level. We're the only state in the country without a budget for a year now, almost 2 years. It almost seems like the people who are, supposed to be driving this in our legislatures and in Congress are not. They're doing other stuff. We saw this report this past week on 60 Minutes about what our legislators are doing most of their days in Congress. They're all raising money. How do we as people get their attention to fix these problems?
I haven't written about the state level, where it's a little different. At the state, you can contact your legislators easily, and you can put individual pressure on. I used to be in state government, and I used to get those calls. But what I've written about is at the federal level, where it's harder, and where the budget problems have been around for a long time and will continue to be around for a long time, and it's not easy for people to get the attention of a congressman or senator. It's got to be done by people being educated and gradually the public developing a will. I call it the sleeping dragon of public opinion. It's got to wake up.
And these are also some issues that are, some call them the third rail of politics, Social Security, Medicare. These are not easily talked about, let alone fixed issues. What do you address in your book about these?
Yeah, that is the whole point of the book, that these are the issues that politicians, for good reason, are afraid to touch, but therefore they don't get solved, and you don't get to hear about them. You don't have rational discourse. Social Security is a great example. The answer is fairly simple and straightforward, as are most of the other answers. But in Social Security, the problem is that the eligibility age was set with life expectancy tables that are almost 100 years old. People lived into their 60s. Now people live to almost 80. And we're going to have to move up that eligibility time. I think that's a logical, obvious answer, but nobody dares to say it. Hardly anyone dares to say it.
And you've in your book outlined lots of different ways we can solve these problems. But I go back to that intransigence where they're just not moving on any of this. And if we're going to drive this and we need to get our attention of lawmakers, how do we do that in a way that does this in a nonpartisan sort of, I'm not going to be screaming at you, you're not going to be screaming at me sort of conversation about solving this?
Collective will in a democracy doesn't function neatly. There is no simple thing that an individual can do except to talk about it, to learn about it, to talk to others about it, to take every opportunity to move the dialogue along. But somehow, at some point, it comes together and the cumulative will get to the politicians. It's a messy process. It's an awkward process. It can be a frustrating process. But it is how a big democracy works.
And I'd like to have you hold on through our next segment here. We need to take a break now. But coming up, I'd like to talk to you about this idea that we're in a real dire situation. And if something's not done soon, we could maybe threaten our republic, perhaps. I don't know. We'll try to have that conversation as we continue here on The Opening Bell. We're talking this morning with the author of a new book called Common Sense Solutions to America's Greatest Economic Challenges.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
548 on the WGN Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing a little higher, up about 35 points. S&P NASDAQ futures higher as well. The latest on commodity markets this morning. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. A year ago, we were in the midst of the bird flu epidemic that ultimately took the lives of 48 million chickens and turkeys. And there has been concern there may be another outbreak this year about the same time. But so far, we've only seen two. One farm in Indiana and now a farm in Missouri where 39,000 turkeys have been killed because of a bird flu discovery. As we look at markets yesterday, it was a steady to firm hog market, and in the grain market, slightly lower on wheat and corn. Soybeans traded higher. In the livestock market at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the cattle futures, feeder and live, ended the day higher, and hog futures, for the most part, were down a dollar. The story on the wheat tours in Kansas, looks like we're doing a lot better with the wheat crop this year than we were a year ago. Those are the early findings of that annual Kansas wheat tour that got underway earlier this week. Cash hog market yesterday, steady to a half dollar higher, and that's your money. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Back to our conversation this morning. Jim Stone, the author of Five Easy Theses, Common Sense Solutions to America's Greatest Economic Challenges, is with us this morning. And before our break, Jim, I was asking about, we talked about Social Security, but there's another in our country, too, that's sort of this economic issue. You talked about wealth inequality as well. These are two big things. But your background sort of lends it to this idea that there is a conscience and there is goodwill among corporate leaders. Here you've written this book and you've given some great ideas to others. Is that what's needed as well, aside from the politicians?
Sure. You want everybody in society to get behind a fairer, more productive society. What you don't want, and what unfortunately we're drifting towards, is all of the wealth and all of the income moving upward, upward, upward. There's a lot of talk this year about angry voters, and whether they know the statistic or not, what I think people are angry about is driven in large part by the fact that the median income in the United States has not gone up since 1974. The average family has no more income than they had in the 1970s, but there's been huge wealth created and it's all gone to the top. That creates an aristocracy, which is just not what this country is supposed to be about, ought to be about, will function well as. It's the wrong answer.
I don't want to give away a lot of your solutions, but one of the big ones on this part of the discussion is getting rid of tax deductions for interest paid. This will hit the wealthy kind of hard.
Well, you know, you have to solve the problems where the problems are. And yes, it also involves another very unpopular issue, which is you're going to have to tax estates. You can't let people with billions and billions of dollars leave it to their children without tax, without getting an aristocracy instead of a meritocracy. So it's unpopular. Some of these issues are unpopular. We need to change the mindset of the public if we want the politicians to come along and fix it.
One of the things that it could end up happening here is, and it's, I don't mean to be flip about it, but people will get angry enough that you think they'll get pitchforks and torches and head to Capitol Hill?
Well, that's something I'd like to see not happen. I don't think pitchforks usually solve problems well. Revolutions sweep out the old, but they often bring in something worse. These problems can be fixed. America doesn't have to be in decline, but it does take a reset of public thinking to do it. The politicians are probably not going to lead us there.
And that was going to be my next question, based on what we now see shaping up for the November election, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. Do either of these leaders have it in their wheelhouse, or do they have the strong leadership necessary to head us in the direction you'd like to see?
Everybody has opinions on that, including me, but that is not the subject of my book, and I don't want to go there because I'm trying to present solutions that ought to appeal to both sides. I just don't want to sound partisan on these solutions.
And that's probably how we're going to solve this, is we just need to stop yelling at each other and talk to each other without this partisan labeling. Let's hit education, because this is another issue that's hitting many states, including ours, hitting the country, really. I mean, when you talk about investing in the future of anything, whether it be a company, our country, education has to be one of those big ones. But it's getting more and more expensive. It's becoming more out of reach for more and more people. How would you rank this in your top five? Is it number two, number three?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to rank them because all five have to be fixed. We have to confront all of them. But I'll tell you, education is even worse. It's functioning even worse than what you just suggested, because, you know, about 70% of people are never going to graduate from college, and we're not training those people to have careers. They're going from high school to a career. That's fine, but we need to train them, and we're failing to do that. Then the ones that do go to college have what you suggested, which is too much debt when they get out. They can't afford it. So unless you're super talented, in which case you get discovered and get scholarships, or super rich, then the education system just doesn't work for you the way it's supposed to.
As we close here, Jim, give us a positive sense of what are the first steps that we as Americans can take to push this forward.
Well, I think, as I said, it takes a public mindset. So, you know, what I encourage people to do, well, first of all, I'd love them to read my book, Five Easy Theses, but I want them to learn about these issues and to begin discussing them, to have these issues gradually become front and center in the American mind, and eventually the politicians will get there. As I said, sometimes politicians lead a parade, but only after the parade has formed. And that's what we need to do on these issues. America doesn't have to be in decline, as people are complaining sometimes it is. We can fix it, but we've got to concentrate on the hard issues.
Jim Stone is the author of Five Easy Theses, Common Sense Solutions to America's Greatest Economic Challenges, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Available now. You can find it on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Jim, great talking with you. A little scary topic, but you've given us a positive way to go forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's 5:56. This is the Opening Bell. The Steve Cochran Show coming up next. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the Opening Bell. We'll be following your money all throughout the morning here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. The show's producer is Mary Sandberg. Our production assistant is Bennett Wakenight. Our engineer is Ben Cortez.